This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Stephen Kramer. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
What are you going to do with the rest of your life? I invite you to worship with us today as we look at an old story about a person who had a life-changing experience. Let us pray. Gracious Father, as we move on from the celebration of Christmas and now look towards a new year, we give you thanks and praise for the great gift of Jesus Christ. May this day and every day be filled with awakenings to how blessed we are because of Him. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, in just a few weeks, it's going to be Super Bowl time. The two best NFL teams will be playing for the championship. Now, at the end of the game, someone from the winning team is going to be interviewed on a Disney commercial and asked, "You've just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do now?" And they'll respond, "We're going to Disney World." The idea that the commercial is promoting is when something significant has happened to you like this, you just need to do something, and that best something would be to head to Florida's Disney World. What are you going to do now? This same kind of question might be asked of anyone who's experienced a significant life change. For instance, a person who has just retired might be asked, "Well, now that you're retired, you've got all this time in your hands, what are you going to do now? Any plans for what to do with the rest of your life?" I want to share with you a story from the Old Testament about a man who had something significant happen in his life and how it impacted the way he lived out the rest of his days. The man's name was Naaman. His story is found in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. If you have a Bible handy, I invite you to take it out and follow along with me. 2 Kings chapter 5. It goes as follows. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master. because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. We learn a few things about Naaman just in the first verse, that he was a great man, a man of prominence in his community, that he was highly valued and loved by the king of Aram for all the work that he had done for the kingdom. We also see that God was at work in his life, giving him victories. It's interesting where God shows up, isn't it? And finally, we learn that for all his success in life, Naaman had a disease called leprosy, or some form of it that was making his life miserable. If he had a bad case of leprosy, I suppose he wouldn't have been allowed to stay in the community. So maybe it was something like a serious form of psoriasis, who knows. But it was a skin disease, and it made matters look hopeless. But one day, Naaman unexpectedly heard of a possible cure for his leprosy. Verse 2. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his king just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." Naaman went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. It must have been an exciting time in Naaman's life to think about the possibility of getting healed. And to think that his king thought him important enough that he would help him out like this by sending him off with the letter and all of these goods and this money. Some commentator said that the money added up to about $80,000 in American currency and 10 nice suits to give to the person who was going to heal him. Anyway, off he went with hopes high. Verse 6, he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, and that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." Not exactly the reception that Naaman was anticipating. He witnessed the king having a tantrum. The man tore his clothes as a sign of his great frustration and anxiety. And he says, "Do I look like God? I think this king of Aram is just trying to pick a fight with me and beat up on our country again like they've done in the past." Well, what now? Naaman must have wondered. But the story's not over. Verse 8. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." These were dark times in the land of Israel, and Elisha was not really considered to be a favored subject in the land, for he oftentimes would tell the king things that the king didn't want to hear. And so he was kind of put off on the shelf away from the rest of the people. But he was a man of God, and God spoke through him. He was a prophet. And so he hears about this tantrum that the king had, and he says, let this man come to me. Why have you not sent him to me?" So the king sends Naaman on his way, probably very excited now He was about to get healed. He had this picture in his mind, I imagine, of what was about to take place. But boy, was he surprised. Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" We have a fellow here with a wounded ego, don't we? He had in his mind how he was to be treated. I'm an important person, and Elisha didn't even bother to come out and meet with me face to face. He sends out one of his messengers, and the thing he tells me to do sounds absolutely absurd and humiliating, to dunk myself in that dirty Jordan River. And so Naaman begins to turn away, to go home. Fortunately, though, cooler heads prevailed in this situation. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean?" So Naaman went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Naaman, you just got healed. What are you going to do now? Well, let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't turn around and go home. He went back to the man of God. Verse 15. Then Naaman returned to the man of God, he and all his company. And he came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Dear friends, what do we have here? We have a man who's had a conversion experience. Here we are listening to his profession of faith in God. "Now I know," Naaman says, "there are no other gods. There's only one God, the God of Israel." And he went on and said to Elisha, "Please accept a present from your servant." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives whom I serve, I will accept nothing." Naaman urged him to accept, but Elisha refused. "It's a God thing," Elisha said. It's interesting to me as a pastor, sometimes when I'll do a baptism at church, the people will turn around and try to pay me for it. And I'll say to them, "I don't want your gift. This is something that God did for you, not Steve Kramer." So Naaman was grateful and humbled by his experience. He wanted to do something. So listen to what he did. Then Naaman said, "Well, if not, please let 2 mule loads of earth be given to your servant, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god except the Lord. Give me some of this holy ground so that I might build an altar in my own home and stay connected with this community of faith," Naaman says. "And I'm going to put aside all the other things that I've relied upon in my life, all the other gods that I've looked to for security, and I am going to love and worship the Lord of Israel alone. He is now my God, and only him will I worship. And then Naaman took it a little bit further. He said, but may the Lord pardon your servant on one count. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow down in the house of Rimmon, when I do bow down in the house of Rimmon, may the Lord pardon your servant on this one count. He said, Naaman says, from now on, I know I'm playing for an audience of one. I'm committed to that. And I want my life to be pleasing in his sight. But I have this job back home. And sometimes I have to take that old king to his temple to worship. And he leans upon me in order that he not fall over so as he bows down. So when I'm on my knees supporting him, may the Lord know that though I'm physically on my knees, in my heart, I still belong to the Lord, the God of Israel. And what did Elisha say? He said to him, go in peace. He gave his blessing to Naaman. And off Naaman went to live the rest of his days, worshiping the one true God, the God of Israel. This is a wonderful story. You ever wonder why stories like this get told and passed on from generation to generation, and then it eventually gets written down in Scripture? I have a couple ideas about that. Number one, it's a wonderful story because it's a grace story. We see God cares for all kinds of people, even those who don't belong to his chosen people. We see in this text that God so loved the world that he gave healing to this man who humbled himself finally and swallowed his pride and dunked himself in that Jordan River. And got his life changed. We see healing grace happening in this foreigner's life. We also see what a great response Naaman had to this grace that was poured into his life. He responded in a God-pleasing way. He committed himself to living out the first commandment. You know that commandment, don't you? God told the people of Israel after he had saved them from slavery in Egypt and made them his own, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Martin Luther once wrote about this commandment, saying, this means that we are to fear, love, and trust God above anything else. And that's exactly what we see Naaman doing in this story. And we see Elisha, the prophet, affirming it. He expressed his faith, didn't he? As he said to Elisha, now I know there's no other God. And he turned from his old familiar gods and his old ways and promised to love and worship and bring his offerings to that God who had healed him. He loved him. And then he promised that he would continue to live in fear of God. He said, as he asked for pardon, as he had to take his king to the king's worship services in the temple in Rimmon, he was fearing and loving and trusting God above everything else. That's first commandment living, friends. Now you might be wondering, well, that's a wonderful story, you're right. But what does it have to do with my life? Well, let me tell you this. The Bible tells us that God has provided healing for us from something far more deadly than any human disease, sin. We read that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. We also read that there are deadly consequences. The wages of sin is death. Things look hopeless in this state, and we're helpless to do anything about it. But we just celebrated Christmas, and the Christmas story is more than just a little cute tale about a baby being born in a manger. It's a rescue story. God gave his only son, who grew up and died on a cross and rose again. Why did he do that? To make you and me whole. Scripture tells us, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned to our own ways, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his stripes we are healed. God loves us so much that he gave his only son, that whoever would put their trust in him, believe in him, dip their lives into the grace that God is offering us through Jesus Christ, they'll be healed. You see, God cares about each and every one of us. He wants to see you whole. He doesn't want to see you spend another day of your life without him and his amazing grace. So the invitation might be for you today in this story to come and dip yourself in the river of grace in Jesus Christ. And to those of you who have been touched by his grace, I want to ask you this question. Are there any idols or gods in your life that need to be put back on a shelf, put away forever, so that you might fear, love, and trust God above all things? I recently heard a musician at a concert tell us of how he had lived his life for the success of playing music and having status in his music community. It destroyed his family. It separated him from his God. And one day he had a wake-up call, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And having given that life to Christ, he said, "And from now on, I write my music, I sing my music, I perform for audiences, an audience of one. The God who saved me in Jesus Christ." You see, according to the Bible and this story, there's a promise that God delights in. It's this promise: "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Glory, glory.
Gracious God, we thank you for your healing grace. Without it, we would be so lost. Now may the rest of our lives be spent loving you and doing your will as we keep you at the center of our lives. Help us to fear, love, and trust you above all things, for you are mighty, powerful, and worthy of our worship and praise. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As we look forward to 2008, we pray that you and your loved ones will experience God's blessings of health and happiness. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. We thank those of you who send us an annual gift this time of year. Your generous gifts allow us to deliver biblical truths to those who are unable to attend worship services in their own church. If you enjoyed today's message, share it with a friend. Share it with your children. Check it out on the internet at www.christiancrusaders.org. Today's sermon is in printed or audio form. Our website also has many other spiritual helps and a preview of next week's program. Visit us online at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Stephen Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.